Instant illumination. I know myself equal as all of creation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I know myself equal as all of my creation. Now, how do we know ourselves equal as all of our creation? If we created everything, then whatever we see is a reflection of us. It's a reflection of just how beautiful we are. It's a reflection of just what we believe about ourselves. What do you believe about yourself? Do you believe that you are the creator of your world? You are, whether you like it or not. Do you believe that all the good that's in your life, you have brought into your life from within yourself? You have, you know. Do you believe that all of the things that are not pleasant for you or not beneficial for you, that you have not created them? You'd like to say that, that's not me, I didn't do that. Oh, but it did. It did. Every single thing in our life we created. Now, you see, we cannot give up responsibility for any creation that we have. Because if we give up responsibility for any creation that we have, we say that there are two gods. There's a God in us and a God outside of us. You say, well, there is a God outside. Yeah, but not for you. The only God you'll ever be is the God that's inside of you. Now, I have a lot of people who love me dearly and enjoy me as a person in their world, in their company. And a Christmas card we got from one person was quite significant. It's birth of the child, the Christ child, and she writes, to the happy five, Herb, Ellen, Sylvia, Ingeborg, and the Christ within. Now, terrific. But you see, this person has an identity crisis. They forgot to sign the card. And I only know who they are by the envelope. The card came in. And if anyone were to take that out of the envelope, I'd have to say, well, oh, I recognize the writing style. But you see, this is what is going on in your life. What are you creating? I create everyone in my world who loves me, who cares about me, who is part of my life, recognizing that they are their own God. They are the divinity. They are the allness. And I create them in my consciousness as being equal to themselves, equal to their own being. I know myself equal to all of my creation. And I know that each person in my life is equal to all of their creation. But first and only, I see everyone equal to me. Everyone is my creation, and they're equal to me. Now, you see, that's kind of a big-headed thing. Not really. If I think highly of myself, that means I think highly of every person in my world. If I think that I am divine and I am wonderful and I am good, I create everyone in my world wonderful and good. Now watch out. If I start having some dirty thoughts and I can't get the pornographic stuff off my computer, why? Why is that happening? Why is that sticking on my computer? Why is it not getting off? Now, see, well, somebody put it there. No, we put it there. If it's there, we put it there. And you know how we put it there? We put it there by not following directions. Now, in computer language, which is what God in us created, in computer language, it says, do not open anything that you do not know who it's from. And do not open anything that you do not know who it is from. So, what? You never heard that?
Yeah, but that never would open anything.
Oh, Ellen. sure you didn't. So, we open things occasionally. Rather than putting it on our disk, we can put it on a disk. But if we open it, we give it the opportunity to do whatever it's going to do. And if it's going to be a pornographic type thing, it's going to engage itself into our system and make it very difficult for us to get it out, because it's going to have tentacles out here and there, because they want to make it so that it's something you can't get rid of. And you see, if you look at pornographic literature once and you say it's terrible, that's bad. If you look at it twice and you say it's terrible, that's worse. Then if you look at it three times and you say it's terrible, what you really mean is, I'm enjoying this. Because we drive by accidents on the freeway, and everybody in the car has to look over to see what's going on, to see if anyone was killed or blood or guts on the pavement or anything. How absolutely outrageous. And this is not what we want to do. This is not what we want to do, is to look at problems. We don't do that. We don't want to empower those problems. And if we empower those problems, we empower them by our attention. And so, lo and behold, we see lots of accidents. If you create yourself with the positive statement, I am the pure white light of love, I surround my car, my vehicle, with the pure white light of love, all its ways are peace, and all its paths are pleasantness, and I always add, and the way before me is open. If we do that, we will not see accidents. We will not see any problems. I drove yesterday for 4 hours to visit my brother, actually 5-6 hours, to visit my brother up in San Jacinto, leaving here on campus. It was like a big U-turn. We had to go down to San Diego and then over and then up and then over, because the mountains are in the way. And it's much faster to go that way than to go the mountain road. You know how that wiggles around. Otherwise, the mountain road goes right by his door that goes right by our door virtually. So I drove, and it was raining cats and dogs. It was traffic and everything else. And I just kept saying, the traffic is open before me. You know, the way is open. It was. It was. We didn't have one slowdown. We didn't have one problem, and there was not one accident on the road. I did not see one place where anybody had any problems. Oh, somebody might be standing by the side of the road with their light flashing because they had a flat tire or something, but there was no problems of accidents. And you see, you create it or you don't create it. And if you create it, then that's because you want it. Now, do you want such things? Or do you say, I am the pure white light of love. I surround this vehicle with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. And the way before us is open. Now, I drove with Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg and Rex and Button and Love. The last three are our dogs. And I drove with these people. And these people were not satisfied going in our beautiful white Expedition, which is a very comfortable car to drive and really not too big. But they wanted to go in the motorhome, which is 36 feet long. And the motorhome, the heater doesn't work very well, and a lot of other things don't function too well. We have never bothered to use it because we just don't use it. And so here we drove for all these hours in the motorhome. And, of course, I drove it like a sports car. And we got to where we were going very handily. But looking out the windshield and having the rain come down and the road dirt being shot up and the other things, it was a little muggy. And you had to really have good eyes during the day to see what was there. And at the night, you really had to see good eyes because you had to know where it was. And then my dog, when I had Gus, my wonderful miniature schnauzer, he used to go flying with me. And he'd like to get down on the floor under my feet, under the pedals of the in the airplane. I say, Gus, get back up here on the seat. And so here I'm flying along, and I'm trying to land at Gillespie. And I have to go around because he gets down under my feet. I don't want to stomp on him, you know. And so I go around, and I pull him up from there, and I put him on the seat, and I hook him there so he stays there. And then the tower calls me and says, Would you like to take the long runway? Maybe you could make it on the long runway. But I landed fine. But you see, last night I had His Majesty Rex. And Rex wanted to get next to my left foot, and he wanted to just be close to me and do what I was doing. So he stood up occasionally and looked out the window. And he was still sitting on a seat, but he could reach all the way up and look out the window. And then he put his paw forward and turned off the headlights. Here I'm driving in rain and sleet and hail and snow, and he turns off the headlights. So I have to get the headlights back on again. And then he's pushing up and turning the turn signal. And he's making the turn signal go this way and that way. And people think, what's that crazy person doing up there, you know? And so finally I had to have Rex drawn out from there. But I didn't want to draw them out in the wrong time because I didn't want to bump something else. So finally we stopped for gas. And then we hooked Rex up where he would not get under the seat anymore. But you see, I love Rex, and I enjoy having him with me. I enjoy having him around me. And when he's on my right side, it's not so bad, because he can't get under my feet. But when he's on the left side, he just crawls right in between the firewall and the my seat and the chair and so on, and just slinkles in there and slick as you can be. But who created that? I did. I thought it was charming. I thought, now, isn't that cute? Here he gets right next to me. Isn't that nice? My puppy wants to be next to me. But I didn't think of that fact that he might turn off the headlights on me and turn on the turn signals and do all sorts of interesting things. And then, not only that, he would go up under the turn signal, making the lights bright, and then I have to push them down dim again so that I wouldn't, you know, brighten the lights of the people driving ahead of me. But you say, well, Herb, you shouldn't have a license if you can't handle your pets any better than that. But it was a good lesson. It was a good lesson. But you see, I can't blame anyone else for doing that. I created it. I allowed him to be there. I thought it was charming until until he got too full of imagination. And so we had to put him back. But did I create that? Yes. Is that a wonderful creation? Yes. Is it a creation I'm going to change? Yes. Everyone is saying we should have a special hook in the motorhome, away from the front of the motorhome, where we can hook the dogs up while we're going in and out and doing whatever has to be done, getting gas and what have you. And that's a good idea. But the thing is, what we really should do, and we have never done, is to train the dogs to behave. To train the dogs to sit and stay until they're told to come out. Mm-hmm. But no, we think, oh, isn't it cute? The dogs want to go out. No, they don't. They want to do whatever we think they want to do. And we think they want to come out because we're God, and we're creating them wanting to come out. Mm-hmm. Well, now, as God, why not just create them wanting to stay in there? Now, of course, you have an interesting situation here. You have four gods, and you have three pseudo-gods, the dogs. And the dogs, they don't have a mind of their own. Only when we say they have a mind of their own. When we say the dogs want to do what we say they want to do, they do it. I walk with Rex in the morning, and I train him, and I say, Rex, come. And he will look around and see if there's anything more interesting around him. And then if not, then he'll come to me. Now, that is going to end very quickly. He is going to learn to come directly and immediately. And I'm going to work with him. I'll work with him. And he will do it. He will do it. As soon as I am assured in my consciousness, that's what I want. And as long as I think Rex wants to do something different than what I want, then I have not a chance. He will do something different than what I want. But if I train him to do the things that I think are important for him to do, he'll do it. You see, we're God. We're the creator of our worlds. We're the creator of all the experiences. And everything that I create is a reflection of myself. And it's an image of who I am and what I am. And if I have any doubts or any problems, they are reflected right out there. I talked to a young man who was having an illness, and I said to him, that's nice. And he said, but I don't want it. And I said, all right, you have a wonderful job where you drive cars, you drive vehicles all day long, and you can sit behind the wheel, and you're private. You don't have anybody else with you. And you can say, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect. And just keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. He said, well, I have to take this medicine, and I have to do that. And I said, that's okay. You just keep saying it, and you take the medicine. Whatever the doctor tells you to do, you do it. Don't ever quote me as saying, I tell you not to follow the doctor's directions. You always follow them. If you have created a doctor in your world, and you've created him giving you medicines, follow it. If you want to create a doctor out of your world, then that's another story for you. But it seems like you like the idea of a doctor being in your world, giving you advice. Okay, so he gives it to you, and he gives you the pill. Now, he said the pills were not comfortable for him. And I said, well, go to the doctor and tell him to give you a different pill, because there's all sorts of different pills that have different side effects, and they all do the same thing, and all you have to do is say, hey, I got these side effects I don't like, you know, can I have a different pill? And you see, there's always excuses. There's always excuses. And so I told him, he said, well, can I stop taking the pills? I said, am I your doctor? He said, yeah. I'm not your medical doctor. Your medical doctor tells you to take those pills, you take them. And I am your spiritual doctor, and I will say to you, here are some principles that you put in motion, and then the time will come, and it could be instantly, when you don't need the pills. You go into the doctor, and you say, doctor, check me over. And he'll check you over, and he'll say, hey, remission, wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you know? And you'll say, thank you, sir. And then you go about your business. But you always fulfill the promise you make to yourself. And the promise you made to yourself, I go to the doctor, he gives me pills, I'll take them. You say to yourself, I am taking the advice of my medical practitioner. Now, say to yourself, I'm taking the advice of my spiritual practitioner. And my spiritual practitioner says, speak these positive words about yourself with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your being, and you will experience exactly what it is that you choose for yourself. Now, you can be saying, I'm whole and perfect. But under your breath, you can be saying, I'm so sick, I'm so sick, I'm so sick. And the I'm so sick takes over from the whole and perfect. And the whole and perfect doesn't have a chance to do its job of being there. It's there. It doesn't have the chance of expressing itself, because you're saying under your breath, I'm so sick, I'm so sick. You don't know how sick I am. And, you know, that's a matter of feeling pity, a matter of wanting someone to feel sorry for you. And rather than doing that, which is a common experience of human beings, rather than doing that, be the common experience of spiritual beings, of putting a cause in motion of your to express your original purity and integrity, to express your original wholeness. That's kind of nice, isn't it? But it's what it's all about. Are you ready for that sort of an experience? If you are, then get your act together. Get your act together. Like Christine was saying in her dissertation here for her doctoral dissertation, she says, and then I had to say to myself, Christina, get your act together. Get your act together, Christina. And she was right. And she did. And everything changed. Now, when a person is this high-level beingness, magic takes place. Are you ready to be in that high-level being for the magic to take place? I say yes. So, remember, I know myself equal as all of my creation. In other words, all my creation is exactly like me because I created it. And all my creation represents me because I created it. I have beautiful people in my world because I created them. And I have some foul balls in my world sometimes because I create them. Because I create them And I say, well, you have a right to be who you want to be. That's not true. That's not true. No one has a right to be anything except what I create them to be. And you say, well, that's terrible. No, it isn't. The people I experience in my world are what I create. Now, do I want to create people of harmony, peace, love, joy, abundance, and healthy? Then let that be where my mind is. Do I want to create people with sicknesses and unhappiness and with problems? Well, let that be where my mind is. And whatever I see out there, I am. So let's be perfect in every way. And let's create everyone in that beautiful, equal attitude to ourselves, who we are. You all have a wonderful day, a wonderful night, and a wonderful life. And know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.